Silence!
Oppenheimer!
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Play Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 162 of Nerd Pride Radio. 162 days ago, early June, the United States was still embroiled in the primaries. People thought Bernie still had a chance. Trump was being denounced for his racist remarks about Judge Curiel. And then it was all overshadowed for the day by the top headline. Mike Jones gets 26 points in the Deadpool due to the death of Muhammad Ali. Oh, it was a glorious day. Sad, of course, for the loss of a sports legend. But still, 26 points. Dudes, come on. So ask me how I'm doing today. Go on. Ask me. I am awesome. My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D/Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd, plus... there's like seven other kinds of nerd I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore. Our sponsor this week, the Canadian Immigration Service. Canada. Keep exploring. All right. Before I do anything else, Noah's here. Hi, Noah. Before I do anything else, it is time for another installment of our all-too-frequent segment, Mike Was Wrong! All right.
Are you saying you're wrong a lot of the time?
Yes, I do say I'm wrong a lot of the time, and that's okay. It happens every week. Yeah, I was wrong about my wings. My wings! Okay, so we're playing Pathfinder. My character is Dothan the Bard, and it is her dream, my dream, to buy a set of wings. Big old dragonfly wings so that she can fly around and be awesome. All right, be a huge target flying over combat, singing, inspiring, occasionally shooting arrows, but seriously, like, that's helping. And so I said on a previous podcast last week, probably, that it was going to cost me 27 grand to get these wings, and it would take me 2 months to build them. It turns out, no. I keep getting my math wrong on this thing. That is exactly twice as much and twice as long as it's really going to take. I really only needed 13.5, which I had on me. So, after we traded some stuff in, so I cashed in the gold, I bought all the materials I need to make my wings, and that's only going to take me a month, 27 days in fact, to make those wings, of which I've already got, you know, maybe 3/4 of a day in. So, you know, a month from now, in game time, I'll have a set of wings. It's probably going to take longer than that, but still, I've got some wings. I was wrong. I'm glad to be wrong on that one. That's awesome. But, on the other hand... Mike was right! Okay, or at least less wrong! Okay, I talked about my wife's phone last week that Eli had lost, and we blamed Eli for it. And then I thought, oh God, wait, did I take that away from him? I think I might have taken the phone, and so actually I was the one that lost it. Turns out, it wasn't me. I didn't lose my wife's phone. In fact, neither did Eli. You know where it turned up? It was in Aiden's room. It was in Aiden's room, sitting on his desk. Aiden took the phone for some reason. So they had come home, Eli set it somewhere, who knows, and then Aiden picked it up because he has the exact same model of phone, took it downstairs, put it on his desk, and then when he found his own phone in his pocket, it never occurred to him that he had taken a different phone downstairs. Oh, it wasn't my fault. Just as, oh, by the way, my car got totaled tonight, parked out in front of the house. We're watching TV, all of a sudden we just hear the crash. Oh, it's horrifying. And so we go outside and, yeah, my car's totaled. But hey, for the first time ever, not my fault. oof. I mean, it's still going to suck. I mean, they're going to cash this thing out and they're going to give me, you know, $1,000, maybe $2,000 for it if I'm super lucky, which means, yeah, it's going to cost me to replace this car, but not my fault. It wasn't me. All right.
But it's completely destroyed?
Well, that's what happens is if the car costs more to fix than it's worth, then that's, they call it totaled. And instead of fixing it, they just give you the money for whatever the car is worth. And in this case, the car's very old and it's already been totaled once. And so it's not worth a whole lot. So I'll just get the cash for it. All right. But that's not important right now. That's a minor thing. You know what? I needed a new car anyway. This one was already a piece of junk. This just motivates me to go out and actually do it. So this is not, it's going to be really inconvenient and it's going to cost some money and it's blah, blah, blah. But you know what? That's not the worst thing that could happen to a person, right?
Plus the air conditioning is broken. We're steaming.
Right, see? Look at
the summer.
Look at that. Do you see how smart I was to not get the air conditioning fixed? I saved all that money. Okay. So, anyway, thank you for pointing that out, Noah.
Anyway, cool.
Enough of all of this. It is time for the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. This is the time for me when I talk about whatever's been on my mind for the last week. If something strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy, busy week, I add it to my master list right here in my handy dandy pocket mod. And the very best stuff off of this list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record.
That's kind of gross, you know.
No, you're supposed to do the next line. You lucky dogs.
You luckier dogs.
See, I bring Noah in, and it's like he didn't even bother to study. I don't even know why I bother. All right, so first up.
And now for something completely different.
That's right. It's time for something completely different. This is just stuff I don't have a category for yet. This was actually going to be my entire podcast this week. I was going to talk about the election and President-elect Trump. And I've got all sorts of things that I could be saying on the subject. But I decided that I didn't like the conversation I was going to be having. I mean, you know, look, I voted for Hillary. I really wanted Clinton to win this because I especially really don't want Trump to win, and I think Hillary is very qualified, and we've talked about this before. But that's not how it happened, and we all know that. And so I was going to have this big, long discussion, and I decided not to. I mean, like literally, I was going to cover all sorts of stuff in the polling and the statistics, and I was going to talk about, you know, what brought us to this and what we need to do moving forward, and I was going to talk about Trump's 100-day plan. I had all sorts of stuff. And you know what? That's not that much fun. I will say, look, the bottom line for me, the most important thing about this is that whatever side you're on, we got to recognize that this was a tie vote. I mean, the difference was like 200,000 votes. It was like 0.3% difference between Trump and Clinton. So, you know, so yes, technically Hillary won the popular vote. That's actually really good for her, even though she doesn't win. So, you know, we've got that 1 point in our favor to go, oh, but she won the popular vote. Oh, if only it wasn't for that damned electoral college. Well, you're not getting rid of the electoral college. The best you can do is hope for apportionment of votes like Nebraska does, for that matter. But again, that's beside the point. The point is, it was a tie. I mean, functionally, it was a tie. And the way the electoral college works, it got handed to Trump. And that's how our system works. It was all fair. That's what happens. But the thing about it is, with a tie vote, the reason Trump won is that there's a whole bunch of angry people out there. And yeah, you can accuse them of being racist and sexist and all sorts of terrible things, but most of them aren't that. But most of them are very upset because this is a system that doesn't work for most people. Our system does not work to support most lower class working people. It just doesn't. It works against us. It is designed to take our money and give it to people who are much wealthier than we are. And this huge segment of our population has been crying out that we need change. We need something different. We need to fix what's broken. And that's why Trump became popular. And it's why Bernie became popular. It's why Bernie actually looked like he had a shot for a little bit. It's because he was addressing that same angry group of people that really just want things to be different. And so in the end, tie vote. So all of the people who voted for Clinton half the nation really, really, really doesn't want Trump to be president. Most of them are scared to death of a Trump presidency because of all of the horrible things that might happen. But more than that, half of the people didn't vote for Trump. And of the people who did vote for him, a sizable chunk of them didn't really want Trump. They just felt they didn't have any better option. They just liked Hillary less, so therefore they voted for Trump while holding their nose. And don't think that that makes Trump unique in that case, because had Hillary won, we would have had the exact same situation on the other side, because all those Trump voters really, really, really didn't want Clinton to win. And a whole bunch of Clinton voters didn't want her in either, but they didn't want Trump even more. So they held their noses and they voted for Clinton. No matter what happened, we were going to have a 50-50 split in the populace, and we were going to have a president that the majority of people would prefer wasn't president. Either way, it's not a winning situation. And either way, we're down to a whole bunch of people really mad at each other. I mean, we should be mad at the system. We should be mad at our leaders. We should be struggling to change this system. And instead, we're arguing with each other. And instead, we're sitting back and accusing people of being evil for voting for the wrong person. I know a lot of Trump voters, and some of them are racist and sexist. Some of them are just a little bit racist and sexist, but not really. And they struggle to be better people than that. But the largest portion of them, of people I know, are people who are good people. They're not racist. They're not sexist. They're not homophobic. They're not bad people. They just disagree with me on what the best direction for this country is. And they voted for Trump even though they can't stand Trump. Many of them are people who voted against Trump in the primaries. Many of them are people who at the beginning of this process said, "Dear God, whatever happens, I hope Donald Trump doesn't become our president." They can't stand him either, but for their own reasons, they felt that he was better than Clinton. So, you know, I think we should be done with fighting with each other. I really do. I think the hate is, it's had enough. It's run its course. And look, there are good, legitimate reasons for people to be scared out there and to be worried. I mean, Donald Trump and his running mate, Pence, they ran specifically with the rhetoric and the promises that they're racist, and that they absolutely, Trump especially, is absolutely, either he's completely racist or he's just okay with using the language of racism in order to further his political career. Either way, that makes him a bad person. And he's clearly a misogynist. There's not any doubt about that. They clearly, especially through Pence, have the desire to roll back rights for the LGBTQ plus community. There's not good things out there on that front. It is looking like they want to restrict the rights of large segments of our population, that they want to make people lesser citizens again. And I understand being scared of that. That's absolutely something that we should be scared of and that we should fight against if the Republican Congress supports him in those endeavors. We absolutely need to fight against that. But also, we need to find ways to work together. It's not going to do us any good to sit here and scream that other people are evil or that other people are idiots. That's not going to get them to work with us, and we're not going to affect change. And before the election, the day before the election, I posted out on Facebook that, you know what, no matter who wins or who loses, we need to remember to be good sports about this. We need to practice good sportsmanship. We need to be there for each other regardless of who wins, and not do all this ugly in your face, I told you so crap. And of course, I said that with all the confidence of someone who was pretty sure he was going to be on the winning side. And so really, this was my advice to all those losers out there. And then the next day, realizing what had happened, I had to look back at that post and go, "Oh God, great. Now I have to live by my own words." But it was good advice. It was good advice no matter who wins and who loses. And again, I was planning on doing a good half hour, 45 minutes on this. I'm not gonna, but I am gonna end it with saying, you know, hey, let's all be excellent to each other. Seriously. Don't be a dick. Be good. We've got to learn to work together because, yeah, the system's busted. We just proved that the system is busted. We proved it by having an election where no matter who won, the majority of the electorate was going to be upset with the result. No matter how it turned out, that's a broken system. And I don't have solutions yet, but yeah, you absolutely can speak, buddy. Come on up.
I think it's so idiotic that people are like, you're evil for voting for Hillary because I voted for Trump and vice versa. That is the dumbest stuff I've heard.
You're a smart kid. Yeah, look, I've also for years said that you can't start a debate by demonizing the other side. You can't have a productive conversation if you're starting from the premise that people who disagree with you are evil and malicious, because for the most part, they aren't. There are evil, malicious people out there. There are bad people out there. There are bad operators in every space, but the majority of people aren't that. And therefore, we need to reach out to people. We need to have discussions. We need to have real discussions that don't involve sound bites and don't involve accusations. And we need to be better than that. And if you're dealing with people who can only work in sound bites, try harder. I mean, honestly, that's really, you're going to come across these people, and unless we can start a dialogue and we can show ourselves to be reasonable, we're not going to get anywhere. All right, so that's enough of that topic. We are all done talking about politics until listener betrayal, because I'm sure there's going to be some questions, and that will be great. I will be happy to expound on this some more if anyone's got questions later on. But in the meantime, where are we now? It's time for the science corner.
Ooh, she blinded me with science.
She blinded me with science.
Blinded me with science.
And that music means if you don't walk away now, you might be in danger of learning something. This is a great article that my wife sent to me last week. It is from the Economic Policy Institute, and they were looking at international testing of school-age kids. Because, you know, every four years, the Economic Policy Institute comes out with the results of the international testing, where they test students at different grade levels across various nations and then compare the results. And most specifically, they give rankings of how well each nation performed in relation to the others. And in the United States, in general, we perform really low. We come out like 25th, in a typical example of this. And we come in really low. We come in well below most other industrialized nations. And therefore, as soon as they release those results, our politicians, our public go nuts deciding that we have failing schools. This is how we got No Child Left Behind, by the way, is because of international testing that showed how far behind we were compared to other nations. And therefore, we have to do something. And we don't know what we have to do, but we have to do something. And so we go crazy trying to, we need to be working on research-based stuff. No, wait, we need to be offering families more choices in their schools. No, wait, we need to go back to basics. All right, but here's the reality, and this is what the Economic Policy Institute was looking at, is they said, well, you know what? That's just a raw ranking. Why don't we break these statistics down and see what they actually mean? Because the EPI releases their statistics, they release their rankings, and then they wait to give you the full set of data so that nobody can do any real analysis on the data. They release that like 5-6 weeks later, which means by that point, we've already got this baked into our heads that, oh my God, we came in 30th. We came in 30th of industrialized nations. Oh, we suck at math. We suck at science. And they give us this ranking, and then everyone gets all worked up, and we have this huge conversation about it nationally that we need to do something about our failing schools. And then after 6 weeks, then they release the actual numbers and the breakdowns and let people actually see where the problems lie. Well, by then it's too late. By then we've already set things in motion. And what they found when you look at the data, specifically because the EPI is very concerned about poverty. That's, if you look up their group, the Economic Policy Institute, they're very concerned about poverty. And so for them, they took it and they broke down the statistics based on economic level. So they looked at the lower class schools, so schools that mostly serve lower income individuals compared to the higher end schools, the upper class schools, and they compared them across nations. And what they found was if you compared only the lower class schools, only the schools that are serving poor kids across all these different industrialized nations, they found out that the United States actually ranks about sixth among all poor schools. So we're actually not doing too bad. I mean, look, there's like the top three that include like Denmark, Norway. There's the top three that we're not really going to catch up with in any realistic fashion because they're doing it exactly right, and we can't seem to copy that model within our society. But sixth is pretty damn good. That is not a bad result, right? I mean, that's comparing poor schools to poor schools. Now, let's go look at the upper-class schools. When you compare the middle-class, well-off schools of our nation to middle-class, well-off schools of other nations, where do we fall? Like eighth or ninth. Really, we're not bad. We're not bad at all. I mean, if you found out that we were eighth or ninth among industrialized nations, you know, and so we're looking at, oh, here's the Scandinavian nations are doing better than us, but hey, you know, we're better than Ireland, we're better than France, we're better than, we wouldn't be thinking it was all that bad, would we? I mean, these are not bad numbers. And so then the question arises, well, then why do we rank so low overall? Ah, there's the rub. The reason we rank so low overall is because we have so many poor people in this country. This is our real problem, is our wealth gap. We have a bigger wealth gap than any other industrialized nation out there. I mean, you want to know who's got a more unequal distribution of wealth than the United States? Look at the list, and it's all countries from South America, from Africa, it's China, it's countries in Asia. There is no European nation that has such an unequal distribution of wealth as the United States. We have way more poor people compared to our rich people than any other country. It's huge. And that's why we perform poorly on these standardized tests, or at least why we seem to when you look at the overall ranking, is because of our huge wealth gap compared to other industrialized or first world nations, or however you want to refer to them. Because of our huge wealth gap, we have a much larger proportion of poor people. So even though our poor schools are doing really well on average compared to other poor schools, and our wealthy schools are doing really well on average compared to other wealthy schools, when you put all the numbers together and average them out, we have way more poor schools, and so therefore it drags our numbers down in comparison to everybody else. If you just look at that straight raw number, you realize you would think that all of our schools are failing. But when you actually compare them across economic level, you realize that, no, it's the schools are fine. The schools are fine for what they are. They're schools in impoverished areas. And for all that, they're doing pretty damn well compared to the world average. What our problem is, we've got too many poor people, and it's not a matter of we need to fix our schools, because guess what? Poor people got lots of problems that don't involve education. They've got lots of things going on in addition to trying to get an education. And therefore, better schools is not going to fix the problem to any significant degree. The real problem is we got to fix our wealth gap. We've got to quit having so goddamn many poor people. We've got to help bring everybody up. We need a more equitable distribution of wealth in this nation. If we want to fix education, well, we fix education by fixing poverty. That's where it all comes down to. And I found this study absolutely fascinating. I loved applied statistics that gave really valuable data. And I'm just giving you just the broad overview of the whole thing. This was me reading through it a couple of times, and this is what I gathered from it. But it gets deeper, and it gets to a point where it starts to lose me. So there's a lot more really good information in this article. This is just the overview of it that I thought was just amazing. So it was really cool. So again, hey, let's tie that back to, boy, we need a change in this country. This system is not working for everybody, is it? Okay, enough of that one. Next up, it's my gaming table. I've got Dungeon Master's Guide. I've got 12-sided die. Role-playing games, video games, board games, card games, any games, if it fits on my gaming table, then I am here to share it with you. This is going to be a great week for games. It just really is. I'm going to be playing Pathfinder on Thursday night. We've got our community game night on Friday night. And I've got a bunch of community game night is Friday. I've got several people from work friends and acquaintances and coworkers who have all heard that there's game night going on, and a couple of people have already attended. They're like, well, can we get in on that? And yeah, half of them won't show up because people always say they're going to, and then they get busy and things happen. But some of them I know will, and I'm really excited about it. So it's going to be a good time. More than that, we're gearing up for the Nerd Pride Radio fantasy movie draft, which you guys don't really know anything about because we've got it in a hidden forum. Because the way the fantasy movie draft works is each of our players, we take turns drafting movies for the year 2017, and there are six of us playing, and each of us are going to get 16 movies. And once you've drafted 96 movies, it's really hard to find any other quality movies that you know for sure are going to be released in 2017. So we've decided that six is really our limit on players. But man, it's exciting. This last year has been fun. I'm in second place right now. Or at least I think I'm going to pull into first place this week because, Doctor Strange and Trolls are both doing well 2 weeks in a row. So, I'm going to be doing well, but then Zombie's going to kick my ass when Rogue One comes out. I'm not going to be able to beat that. But it's been a good year, and we had a lot of fun, and so we're doing it again, and we're going to do it with six people, and I'm just looking forward to it. Again, I have got spreadsheets laid out. I've got everything laid out by week and expected box office, you know, as best as I can tell, you know, a year ahead of time, and kind of working the system to figure out the best places to actually draw some points, because our scoring system will affect how you draft things, this kind of stuff. And it's just an exciting game. But because the draft for that is coming up, that means, you know what time it is? It's Deadpool time. This is the real reason I'm doing a gaming table. No, not that Deadpool, not the comic book Deadpool. Yeah, Noah's so disappointed now. I'm like,
oh, the Deadpool where you kill people in a pool.
Right, the Deadpool where we kill people. That's right. So Nerd Pride Deadpool 2017 is coming up. Our draft, you have to have your lists turned in to me. Anybody can play. Anybody at all can play. You have to have your lists of celebrities that you're thinking will die in 2017. Have to have your lists to me by Christmas Eve, I believe, is the deadline. And what I do is Christmas Eve, I get all the lists, and then I compile them, and any of them that haven't been in the game before, I put those names out so people can just give a thumbs up or thumbs down in case there's anybody questionable in there that maybe they're not really a celebrity or maybe that whatever, just in case we got problems. And then New Year's Eve or New Year's Day, I'll run the actual draft, and then we'll have our names for 2017, and then that's it. So you've got, you know, the next month that you work on it, and you might not even put in that much effort. Some people just throw a list together in a day or two. Some people do research all year long. But the whole idea of the Deadpool is you have 10 names on your list of celebrities you think will die within the calendar year. And if any of your celebrities die, you get points equal to 100 minus their age. So if they're 90, you get 10 points. If they're 64, you get 36 points.
What and 101?
Then 5 points is the minimum. You always get at least 5 points. Okay. And so, and then there's other things that go in, but that's the basics of it. And then at the end of the year, whoever's got the most points, like my wife does this year, wins the Deadpool and gets to rub everyone else's faces in it. And we have a really good time. And it's a draft system, so like I say, you get 10 ultimately on your list, but if someone picks one of yours beforehand, then we just move down to the next one on your list. And so therefore, most people, if you guys want to get in on this, be ready to get me a list by Christmas Eve, and send me a list. If you've never played before, plan to send me a list of about 30 or 40 names, and that will probably get you all the way through, and you'll get your 10. If you have played before, then you recognize that we all start to think alike, and we all kind of double up a little bit, and probably best if you have like 50 or 60 if you've played before. But otherwise, anyone who wants to get in on Deadpool, it's a low investment for a year-long payoff this is exactly the same stuff I said last year about it. But, you know, you're going to put in just a little bit of time putting together your list now. And then you get to watch, you know, as the draft unfolds and we get to see what names everyone has. And then that's it. And then for the whole rest of the 2017, All you have to do is every time somebody dies, you go, oh God, did someone have them on the list? Was it me? And then you check and you see, and maybe people get points, maybe they don't. And at the end of the year, we pick a winner. So, if you guys want to get in on this year's Deadpool, start thinking about it now. Just kind of, you know, keep your eyes open. Start thinking about it. Think of the names you might want to research a little bit better. See if those old celebrities are even still alive. And then get in on the game. Anybody can play. Even if you haven't signed up for my boards before, even if I have no idea who you are, if you're hearing my voice and you want to play the game, honestly, put together a list of celebrities you think might go in 2017 and get it to me by Christmas Eve, and I'll get you in on the game. Anybody can play. So it's a good time. It really is. It sounds morbid. I know, but it's harmless. It's really harmless. Unless you're Elle. Elle is convinced that talking about it, that she's convinced that her psychic powers, her psychic karma is so strong that merely talking about it, merely listening to us talk about it. Oh, hi, Elle. You're listening right now, aren't you? She is convinced that being anywhere close to this, she will result in her being responsible for the deaths of famous people. So, yeah, too late, Elle. You didn't tune out fast enough, did you? You've just killed another three of them. It's all your fault. All right, and I do that because I know that will drive her crazy. So, I am so mean. I'm sorry. I'm not really that sorry. I did it on purpose. Okay. Anyway, that's enough of the gimmick table. No. She's, you know what? I actually, even though I said three, I don't think she could really kill more than one or two in a calendar year. I'm pretty sure two is her limit. All right. That's enough of the meticulous supply portion. We are done. So you know what that means it's time for? Noah, tell them what it's time for.
The Podomatic! Sorry, joke there.
Hot dog. Yeah. This is the Nerd Bride Radio Podomatic. At the end of every cast, I bring out R2 and his fully pimped out Podomatic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where did these topics come from, you ask? Ask me, where do they come from? Ask me.
Where do they come from? Do they come from the listeners?
Yes, that's where you guys come in. You want to hear me haver on about something? Then you send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on my forums, and I will add it to my Podomatic list. Because Podomatic is about whatever you want it to be. And the very first number we got is 69, dude. And 69 is from... Let's find out. Oh, so close. There it is. Oh, it's from Master. Hey, Master, how's it going? All right. Master says, I am trying to beef up my Podomatic count. How many do I have? Do I have the most? I bet not. No, I bet you don't. So who does? Well, that's a great question, Master. Good job getting your count up. Oh, but guess what? You're down by one now. So after I crossed that one off the list, you're down to 19 left on the master list here. And this isn't the master list. This is the Podomatic list. The master list is in my pocket mug. But right now, the queen of the Podomatic list is Mrs. Darks, who has 33, followed by Kyle, who has 23, and then you at 19. So you're actually not that far out. I mean, that's not bad. You know, you send me a list of 15, you become the new king. So, I'm not saying it's a competition. I'm just saying, you know, you could. I mean, hell, Zimny's in fourth. He's right behind you. Zimny has 11, and he used to have 120. So, you know.
What?
Over time, they all sort of dwindle away. It's just what happens.
I'm sorry, what?
Zimny, he once sent me a list of 100. 82. And 82 is... Oh, I just saw it. There it is. 82 comes from Mrs. Darks. Hi, Mrs. Darks, who has the most Podomatic entries on this list. What is your biggest social anxiety, if any? Have I answered this question before? Because this sounds like one I'd answered before.
What's a social anxiety?
Social anxiety means something, an anxiety is something that scares you or that you worry about, something you get nervous about doing. And social would mean in a social setting. I don't know about anxiety.
Embarrassing myself while breaking a leg.
Embarrassing yourself while breaking a leg? No. For most people, you know, it's talking in front of big groups.
I don't really have social anxiety.
Yeah, look, I, I got over my fear of speaking, public speaking, a long time ago. I enjoy public speaking. I'm good at it. That's why I do a podcast. I love talking to you guys. But you know, even any group of people, for the most part, I think it was scouts that did it. Being a scout leader and knowing that I had to get up there in front of people and actually, you know, make announcements and give speeches and get people's attentions, that didn't bother me. It did at one time, but I finally got to the point where I realized that, you know, everybody else out there, they're just glad it's not them doing it. And they're not going to judge me because, you know what? They just don't have to do it themselves. And I've gotten better at it because, you know, with practice. Although in social situations, I don't know if I'd call it an anxiety, but you know, that kind of dinner party thing, where it's a social event, like for work or for who knows what, a place where you have to be, but you don't know many people there. And I am not one who very easily just goes up and approaches strangers or, you know, vague acquaintances and just starts striking up a conversation and get things going and that kind of stuff. And those situations make me a little uncomfortable because, you know what? If I don't know anybody here, I'm here for my wife or I'm here for somebody else and I don't really know anyone, it's not all that important to me to go out and mingle and mixed up and get to know everybody. I'd be fine just hiding in a corner with my phone for the evening, but I feel obligated and I'm always a little uncomfortable in those situations. Again, I don't know if I'd call it an anxiety exactly, but you know, it's not fun. So I envy Yancey. Yancey could be, you know, waiting in line at a butcher shop and he will find somebody there that he can talk to and he will start striking up conversation and by the end of it, he's going to be their best friend. And Yancey is really good at that stuff. My dad is really good at that stuff. Or at least he used to be. I don't know. I haven't watched him in action in a few years. So, but, well, no, you know what? When he came down for graduations, he's always, and, you know, he mixes it up in a social group and he has his stock set of stories and he'll trot those out and he's just, you know, ultra charming. He's just this way my dad works. I'm not that good at that stuff, but I would like to be, but then, it seems like so much effort. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's me. 99. Okay. I had to turn those around. I couldn't tell if it was a 69 again or what. All right. 99 it's from Zim, speaking of the devil. Hey, Zim. Zim, you're down to 10 now. Zimny says, a long-running Star Wars LARP is looking for people to help play some semi-major NPCs for them in an upcoming storyline. Is this going to be a long story, Zim? I think it is. And when they come to ask you for your help, you naturally agree. Well, of course I do. What type of character would you like to play? A Jedi, a Sith, a smuggler, a droid, something else? And they will help you with your costume and makeup as long as you don't get too elaborate or weird. Okay. I will play anything you like. In action, I am not up to playing a Jedi or a Sith if it's going to be a LARP. I'm not ready to do the physical.
What's a LARP?
LARP, live action role play. That means you do a role playing game, but you are dressed up as your characters. And you are acting out your parts as you go. Like, it'll be often in a real setting with the real costumes and all the equipment, and you're acting out the whole part as you play. Instead of just sitting around a table and telling what your character does, you actually do what your character does. I've never LARPed, but it sounds fascinating. Speaking of social anxiety, that might be a problem for me. That's a lot of pressure because it's something I've never done before. But, I would probably want to play, actually a very social character, someone who does a lot of talking. I don't mind being a droid. I don't mind being a smuggler. I don't mind being a diplomat, although a diplomat puts on some extra pressure of actually knowing what the diplomatic situation is. That requires a big grander knowledge that maybe I don't have.
I know what I'd be in a LARP.
What would you be in? This is a Star Wars LARP.
I'd be a Jedi. With
really?
The dark side of the Force.
So you'd be a Sith?
No, I'd be a good guy with dark side.
A good force. Guy who uses the dark side, which means
because
eventually you'll wind up falling to the dark side.
No,
you know
I
that.
No, my character doesn't, because the dark side's only about unleashing your inner power.
Right, right, right. But eventually it will corrupt you, dude. That's what it does. That's what it does.
I've conquered the dark side, Dad.
You're strong. You're stronger than the dark side of the Force. Is that what you're telling me?
Yep.
You are full of shit. You know that?
No,
you are such a... You,
I do the Doctor Strange stuff.
No, no, this is... I am telling you, this is what lures people into the dark side, is thinking that they can control it. But you can't. You think you can, and that's how they get you.
I surrender the control of the dark side, thus controlling it.
Oh, no. No, no, no. There is no way, dude. I guess we're moving on.
No!
29. 29 is from... Oh, got it. It's from Mrs. Darks again. Hey, Mrs. Darks. All right. Why is my microphone way up there? God, that was probably doing some weird things to the sound. The back end of the microphone stand was balanced on the keyboard. It was actually sitting on my mouse pad. I don't know how the hell that was supposed to work. Mrs. Darks says, what topic would you like to hear discussed on Angry Geeks Versus? God, that's a great question. I would want to second guess them because I actually really enjoy what they're doing. I love the actual versus fights that they've been doing. I love their movie reviews, especially when they're spoiler free, because usually they've seen everything way before I have. So there's been times where if they do a spoiler review, I just have to put the episode aside. I can't do it because it could be 6 months before I actually watch that movie or see that show. So there's been big chunks of their stuff I have to skip. But for the most part, I enjoy almost everything that they do. They're really good. I think they have a good chemistry and it's a lot of fun. And I suppose, you know what I wouldn't mind seeing on Angry Geeks Versus? I wouldn't mind seeing missed opportunities. That, like, we were just talking, and I can't give you the details of it because Noah is still reading it. Noah is on, he's just about to finish book 5 of Harry Potter. And Jacob and I were just talking about what we think are the two really major flaws to the last book of Harry Potter, where we think Rowling really kind of screwed up on this because she painted herself in a corner. But then we talked about, you know, what would have been better endings for Harry Potter, or maybe if they weren't better endings, more interesting ones. These are some missed opportunities that, boy, wouldn't it have been cool if this had happened instead?
Like Neville being the chosen one?
Not Neville. Neville. And I think, and yes, that was one of the things that we talked about. And I would love to see them because they know way more about superhero universes than I do. And I know an awful lot about Marvel stuff, but they know a lot more about superhero universes in general than I do. I would love to hear on some of the major storylines or some of the movies or the TV series. And I would love to hear them go on about missed opportunities, directions that these could have gone in, alternate universes where things got done in a way that were more interesting or more satisfying to them in particular. Because they touch on that occasionally. As in, oh boy, you know, they did this in the movie and boy, if they had just done this, it would have turned out so much better. I would like to hear more of those. I love that kind of stuff because, as fans, often, I mean, sometimes we have really stupid ideas, but I think a lot as fans, we know these characters. We know what we would have liked to have seen and I like hearing those. I mean, that's kind of a generalized topic, but that's one I like. I like when they do stuff like that. 34 is, it is from Erin, my ex-future daughter-in-law. And Erin says, if you were to write a science fiction book, what would the title be? All right, the title would either be Io Crossing, Io being the moon of Jupiter. It would either be Io Crossing, or, alternately, Crossing Io. Both of those work for me, and both of them are related to a young adult sci-fi fantasy novel that has been in the back of my head, and it involves being in, well, or at least the epic starts in a floating habitat, a space station-type habitat that orbits Jupiter, and it is closest to Io of all the moons. It's closest to Io, and Io figures into it. But that's going to be the title. She didn't ask for what the details were. She just asked for the title. And the title, Io Crossing.
Wait, I have my title.
What? What would be the title for your science fiction novel, Noah?
They Come.
Ooh, that's pretty ominous.
And it's about aliens coming to Earth. But we're the bad guys.
That's pretty dark. All right. So it'd be like a horror movie for the aliens?
Yeah.
All right. I can go with that. 27. 27 is from Kyle. Hey, bro. Kyle says, which phrase from the 80s should we bring back to the vernacular? Rad doesn't count because people are already bringing that back. No, wicked. Wicked. Wicked awesome.
Wicked.
Don't make fun of it. Wicked is great. Wicked smart. That's my favorite. But yeah, no, wicked was, you could just use it by itself. Wicked. Or you use it as an intensifier for anything. Ah, he wicked stupid. See, that's great. I love wicked.
He's wicked awesome.
Someone would need to tell me if you live up in New England or near New England, if wicked is still part of the vernacular up there, because I haven't heard it in common usage since I was a kid, and I kind of miss it. I love wicked.
So wicked, bro.
Oh, too late. You gotta shut up now. We're moving on. 78. 78 comes from, there it is. 78 comes from Irish Fan. Hey, Irish Fan. Irish Fan gives me another link. So, let's see. Oh, there was a JPEG. Well, that doesn't help me at all. And it is, why does this majestic animal not have a common name? Okay, hold on. Let me go take a look. I'm going to pause. All right, the majestic animal he points to is an aquatic reptile from 250 million years ago that has a bizarre hammerhead mouth. Like you know that the you know how the front of a hammerhead shark looks, where it's got the hammer protrusions on both sides? Yeah, imagine if it was like that, except that the whole hammer opens up as a mouth, so it's got teeth all the way around that hammer outline of a mouth. And that's pretty odd looking. And he says, why does this majestic animal not have a common name? I vote for Hammy McHammerface. What do you think? Dude, Hammy McHammerface, a little unwieldy, but certainly descriptive. It looks like a cartoon animal. It is just bizarre. It looks like a stylized cartoon creature that could not possibly exist, and yet here it is, I'm looking at it. And to help the whole cartoon aspect of it, the artist who has reimagined it has colored it blue. So, yeah. Yeah, it's pretty goofy looking. Like, dude, I'm gonna leave you with Hammy McHammerface. I was gonna try and come up with something better, but what I think that's pretty darn good.
What about Hammer McDoo? Hammerdoo?
No.
I like Hammerdoo.
Yeah, well. I think Hammy McHammerface wins this one, dude.
Hammer Duicus.
Oh, too late. We've already rung in.
Dang it!
03.
I hate you, R2.
And 03 is from... It is... Oh, hey, it's from my wife, Lisa. And Lisa says... F, Mary, kill. We've kind of done some of this. Guys You've Met at Gen Con Edition. Oh, see, this is going to be too... it says Dave, Pat, and Zen. And of course also Stan. Don't forget Stan, although he didn't make it this last time. But I did meet Stan at the last year's Gen Con. All right. So, but she's offered me Dave, Pat, and Zen. This is an F, Mary, Kill. So I've got to pick one of them, for a night of passion, one to marry and one to kill. And this is going to be easy because I already did this with, didn't Kyle give me Dave, Pat, and Sarah Beth? So, no, I got Talvin in that one. So, oh, shoot. Okay. Well, then in this case, look. Don't make me choose between. I mean, look, Zen, you didn't spend the whole weekend with us. So, therefore, I'm going to kill Zen right away. That's the easy one because he was less involved. So, I get to kill Zen. Now, Dave and Pat. Don't make me choose. Seriously, can't we just make it a lifelong three-way and be happy together? Because, yeah, that would be all right. We could do that. But all right, I have to make the choice, and I'll stick with the answer from last time and marry Dave. So, Pat, look, I can only give you the one night, assuming you're cool with that. Well, you're going to have to be for, you know, purposes of this F, marry, kill. So, yeah, I am going to marry Dave, have sex with Pat, and then kill Zen. And I won't enjoy killing you, Zen. I won't, but it has to be done. So, there. Choice is made. Let's move on. My wife is cruel. Cruel. 53. And 53 is... Oh, I just passed it. So close. Man, you think I'd be faster at this. All right, 53 is from Mrs. Darks again. Hey, Mrs. Darks. Floats, milkshakes, or malteds? Oh, thank God it's not another F. Mary Kill. I was worried. No, it says, what's your pleasure? I don't like floats because... I like all three. That's not an issue for me. But floats are kind of a mixed bag. I don't care much for the soda in it because the soda is just going to go flat, as this process goes on. And the ice cream, you start off with solid ice cream, but then it turns mushy and it melts in and and maybe some people enjoy that whole process. Maybe there's a whole thing to your floats that, you know, it starts off like this. And then by the end, you've got this creamy flat soda that I don't know. Maybe that appeals to some. It must. All right. But floats would be my least favorite of the three. And then milkshakes or malteds, both are perfectly acceptable to me. I think I like the malteds better. When I worked at Baskin Robbins, that's the only time I ever really had a good malted milkshake. And I did enjoy them a lot. But I also just like a milkshake too. So, I'm fine with all that, but malteds would be my first choice and then milkshakes. And then, if everyone's having floats, I'll take a float, but again, not my favorite. 31. 31 is from, how long should I go, guys? Cause we're up to this. I think this is the 9th for this episode. So this is, 31 is from Kaz. Kaz says, what is your favorite weapon as a troubleshooter to use? Okay, I have never played Paranoia where I've gotten to actually be a troubleshooter and use a weapon myself. But if you want to ask me what's my favorite weapon to use in Paranoia or what's my favorite weapon to give my troubleshooters, it's so hard to pick a favorite because I didn't even notice the rest of his question. He says, I know you don't get a chance to think like a troubleshooter often, so let me give you this opportunity. I get it. I would say, there's so many good weapons. So many good weapons. Like the laser pistol is nice and easy. I like it because it's predictable and, you know, most of the players know how they work, that you get a pistol, you screw on a laser barrel of a certain color. Each barrel has 8 shots in it. Nice and easy. And lasers, especially when people are wearing reflect armor, lasers can be as effective or not as the situation calls for. But there's been so many good weapons that have come up. I mean, the cone rifle is always good. It's, you know, like walking around with a bazooka. So the cone rifle is pretty awesome. Laser rifles, you know what? Laser rifles may be one of my favorites just because it's like carrying their laser pistol. But man, when they screw that barrel on, suddenly they've got a lot more range, a lot more firepower. That's a pretty good one. And I know it's standard, but you know, I like arming everybody up with their laser pistol and their nightstick. And so they can shoot and club each other to their heart's content. But in the meantime, you know, had plenty of grenades, had flechette guns, had cone rifles, had the beanbag gun that fired chair-sized beanbags. We've done all sorts of stuff. And I guess it really doesn't matter. I don't need the weapons. They'll kill each other no matter what I put in their hands. And they will do it real well. Okay, I need to amend that because there's been some horrible deaths in here. But I also have some people who haven't died in this current game. Weird. And there's good reasons behind that, but I'm going to get to a full breakdown of this game. Oh man, I can't wait until it's over so I can give you guys the full breakdown of what happened in this game and why. I made some serious mistakes in playing this game out, and it also led to some weird situations, some very happy accidents, some great Anyway, I'm just teasing you guys. I'm teasing because I can't give you all the details. So you know what? I'm going to back out of this. And I'm going to say my favorite weapon as a troubleshooter, my favorite weapon is the laser rifle. I love the laser rifle. I don't think I've put one out there in this game yet, but I love the laser rifle. So there you go. Answer. So anyway, as I'm rolling, 79, as I'm rolling, I'm wondering how many more do I want to do? Oh, I guess we're at about an hour now. So this is a pretty good place to stop. This is the 10th one. And this will be our last one, and then we'll get into some listener betrayal. It'll be awesome fun, because you guys have had plenty of time to pitch in. So, it's from Zimny, and Zim says, F. Mary Kill, Bender Bending Rodriguez, John A. Zoidberg, or Amy Wong. All right. I am going to marry Amy right off, because you can't be married to Zoidberg. He is pathetic, and he smells... and he's kind of a loser. I mean, yes, I like Zoidberg. I feel sorry for Zoidberg, but seriously, who wants to live with Zoidberg forever? You can't marry that. And Bender Bending Rodriguez, as much as he is a really cool and fun dude, he's also a criminal and he's out to kill all humans. And, I love Bender, but there's no way you can be married to Bender. That's just asking for trouble. So therefore, I'll be married to Amy Wong. Sure, she's a little flighty. All right. Sure, she's got problems, but she's cool enough. She's smart. She's fun. She's pretty. She's got all sorts of wonderful qualities. Oh, and she's rich. She's independently wealthy. I'm not going to argue with any of that. So I marry Amy. That leaves me with Bender Bending Rodriguez or John A. Zoidberg for my night of passion. And quite clearly, I'm going to go with the greatest lover on the entire planet. That's right. It's me, Bender. It's Bender Bending Rodriguez is clearly the only one for that. And then, yeah, we kill Zoidberg because that's what you do with Zoidberg in this situation. You have to. Nobody picks Zoidberg. All right? All right, done. Settled. So that means that we are all done with the first part of this episode. And it is time, well, second part, middle part, whatever. It's time to get in some credits. But before we do credits, we'll turn it over to GLaDOS, and she'll give us a recap of the episode so far.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2016 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music this week was Weezer's in the Garage, and She Blinded Me with Science as performed by William Shatner. All the songs I use here are available on iTunes. You check them out, you buy them, enjoy them. I wouldn't put them in my podcast if I didn't love them. You want instructions on making your very own pocket mod? Head on over to pocketmod.com. They are free and they are awesome. Don't forget, this podcast is a proud member of the Nerd Pride Network. Angry Geeks versus Casting the Curious, Me Like Trivia. Quality nerd podcasting from quality nerd people. If you want to do something nice for my podcast, please recommend it to your friends. Come on, you're enjoying it. That's why you keep coming back every week. So spread the word. Let other people enjoy it as well. Remember, I am always looking for you listeners to do my work for me. So don't forget to send me questions and topics for the Podomatic. Watch out every week on the forums and on Facebook for listener betrayal. And if you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, send it to me and save me all of that grueling research. My contact information, mike@nerdprideradio.com, @nerdprideradio on Twitter, facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But to be completely honest with you guys, the very best way to talk to me is you come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. You sign up there, send me a message, we'll hang out together, we'll become best friends in the world. We'll have fun. And now it's time for listener betrayal. Before I start every cast, I go out to my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds, and I go out on Facebook and I post up, hey, I'm recording. Anything you guys post on those two spots, I will read off right here at the end of the podcast, which is what I am doing. So, first up, should I start with the forums or should I go over to Facebook? Yeah, all right, let's do Facebook first. First one up is from Sarah Beth, and Sarah Beth says, Dr. Strange F. Mary Kill. Oh, this is awesome. Okay, maybe not so much. my three choices, Living Tribunal, Dormammu, and Satanish. Well, I'm going to wind up, oh man. Oh, I thought maybe I would start with, you know, let's pick Living Tribunal, the one that's not openly evil, and pick Living Tribunal to be married to and live with forever. But, oh God, Living Tribunal is so boring. I mean, you know, glad he didn't destroy the earth and all, but really, look, back in the 60s, Living Tribunal comes around and judges the earth. I'm going to destroy the earth unless you can prove to me that there is good in this world. It is exactly, the opening of Star Trek The Next Generation when Q, in the first episode, decides that humanity is evil and needs to be destroyed, and oh, but can you, if you can prove that there's something worthwhile here, then I'll let your species live. And so in that one, Picard is put into the Doctor Strange position of having to prove that there's goodness in humanity. And in both cases, they wind up proving it and the species gets to live on. So that's Living Tribunal, a completely humorless buzzkill, judge of all that is. And apparently, one of the, if not the ultimate power, you know, I guess if you're going to be married to anybody, it might as well be God, right? All right. So I'll marry Living Tribunal, which leaves me with Dormammu and Satanish as my, all right. Look, I'm going to have my night of passion with Dormammu. I know. It's not a good choice either way. There's no happy choices in any of this, but I'm going to do that one because Satanish is just gross. Have you seen it? Gross. Ugly demon with the mouth belly thing and the ugh, he can't lay down with that. It's not going to happen. So I will kill Satanish. I have my night of passion with Dormammu, and I am married to Living Tribunal. What a thrill that's going to be. All right. So there's my choices. Sarah says, oh, the question was from Pat because she hasn't read the comics, but they are on their way home from the film, which we just saw it today too. Noah saw it last week. But then he went with us again to see it again today because he loved it so much. And, oh, I really liked that.
It's so good!
See? It's so good. Really enjoyed Doctor Strange. Yes, I know. It's just another Marvel origin story. Yes, it's very much Iron Man, except with magic instead of machines. But it was well done. And the ending, the resolution to the boss fight was something completely original, and I really liked it. Really liked it. Loved the Inception style effects. I loved the use of magic in it. I really liked the development of Doctor Strange's character. I had a great time. It was a good film. Formulaic? Maybe, but I don't care. It was well done. Really had a good time. So, she continues, says, yeah, they're on their way home from the film. No posting on Facebook while driving. Apparently, he doesn't want superpowers. Yeah, well, now, hold on. That's really unfair. I mean, yes, he could gain that power, but it would require years upon years of hard study. So, you know, there's a lot going on there. You don't want to miss out on that family time, right? Okay. Next one, listener betrayal on Facebook, is from Nelly. And Nelly says, I'm not going to be a downer and ask about how everything is hell and on fire. Well, okay. Cool. She says, so, if we wanted to send you Christmas presents, how would we do that? Private message me, email me, contact me somewhere that's not in public, and I'll send you my address. I am perfectly open to getting gifts because you know how I like getting stuff.
Me too.
Can you tell me about your most interesting holiday disaster? Holiday disaster. Disaster so much. When we were first married, first year we were married, and we had a tiny tree in our little living room in our little apartment, and the tiny tree was short enough that we had it perched up on top of an end table in order to get it high enough that we could properly decorate it and display it. And you know, we didn't have that many ornaments. We didn't have that big a place. It was just the two of us. And the tree was crooked. We bought it. It was so beautiful when we picked it out and we got it home and the base, the trunk on it was just kind of twisted almost 45 degrees. The trunk was wrong. And so, there was a real problem with mounting it in the stand that we had bought because it clamped in kind of funny, and so, but, you know, you wanted the tree to remain upright even though it had this bend in the trunk right at the bottom. And so we got it all stood up, but Lisa was really worried that it wasn't going to stay and it wasn't going to hold where it was. And I was like, don't you worry about it. Don't worry about it. It'll be perfect. It's fine. And then, as it turns out, I wound up toppling the whole thing over, and not only did it fall, but one of her favorite ornaments, a porcelain bell from when she was little, wound up breaking badly, and it was a big fight, and it was tragic. However, the upshot of it is that I wound up fixing the bell with super glue, and it was a shitty fix. It looked bad, and so the bell, I mean, the lines of every crack in it is still perfectly visible, and it wasn't like the whole thing shattered. It's like it came apart into like three pieces. And so now those pieces, there's a little chunk where the three pieces all meet together. There's a little tiny chunk that's missing, so there's this pinhole going through it, and then the cracks are all obviously, I mean, it's a white bell, white porcelain bell, and the cracks are obviously highlighted, and they stand out really well against it. And so every year we hang that bell on the tree, and every year it reminds us of our first Christmas and how much we fought and how much we made up and how much it was. And it's a sweet and touching reminder of times gone by. So I don't know if I'd call that a disaster, but it was pretty traumatic at the time. I don't have any huge comical disasters like Christmas Vacation or anything, but that was one that stands out for me. So, all right, let me do a refresh because I didn't close this down, and let's make sure that we're not missing anything from Facebook. And it turns out that we are not, so I'll write done, and we'll head on over to my website at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. And, oh God, look at that. I left off on the Deadpool page, and my wife is at 119 points for first place, and I'm at like 50-something for second. There is no catching her in the month and a half we've got left. Uh-oh. Tragedy has struck. Let me refresh again. But I think there is no one posting on my forums. This is so sad, guys. Thank you, Noah, at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. Yeah, listener betrayal, 162. No responses. Well, thank God I have Nellie and Sarah Beth. We didn't come up empty-handed. So let me go ahead and... God, now it's even more pathetic. I posted up that I'm doing listener betrayal. Come, join me. I'm so lonely. And then it ends with nobody responding. I give my pathetic, I'm lonely. And you guys go, yeah, whatever. We're busy. We're at parties, you loser. So that's the end of the podcast. So I thought we'd go on a little bit longer, but I guess we're done. So... thank you guys so much for showing up. You know how much I love you. This has been awesome. We're going to keep doing these. How many have I missed? How many have I missed since I started doing this? I finally got onto my weekly schedule. I think I've missed like five over the last year and a half. I think I'm doing pretty damn good. I'm feeling good about this. So anyway, sorry, that's just me talking. Anyway, like I say, you guys are awesome. Thank you for being here. Come back next week. We'll talk again. Bye.